The Sample Axis, administered by Boyega Nelson.
You're listening to the Sample Axis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Sample Axis Podcast. This is episode 74 and it's iconic. It's historic. I love it. We love it. And we're proud to have been able to do this for 2 years and counting, right? Almost 3 years, actually. And we're headed for new heights. We love the news. If you have been following us, you would have noticed that some big news popped in the last few months and we love it so much. This Day Style compiled a list of podcasts to watch in Nigeria, podcasts to listen to, and yours truly, Sample Axis, was mentioned. Top six. We love that. That's so amazing. And and also in the last couple of weeks, we have been on radio. We're officially debuted on radio in Ibadan, Crest FM 91.1. That's where you can listen to us on terrestrial. So these are stuff that we port for, and we are even more excited for what's coming. So episode 74 is a new beginning of new heights and new levels for the podcast. My name is Wega Adeoye, needless to say. Nelson is on the other end. We're in different city again this time, and we're here to port for you. What's up?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing great. It's awesome to be back again. I know a lot of people are already tired of hearing us say we are back again, but you know, sometimes life happens and we need to keep on going with whatever stuff we're doing at the moment. I remember that I already said something on one of the podcasts that invited us, talking about Chacha's podcast, and big shout out to him, you know, invited us for one of those episodes. And I told everyone through Chacha's podcast that I have been the one, you know, holding back a little bit because I had a couple of things going on. Still have a couple of things going on, but I kind of feel like, you know, the podcast is very important. And those around us that have been listening, that are tuned in with the culture, have asked and demanded that we continue regardless of whatever the obstacles are. So, even if we're 10,000 miles away, even if we're in different countries or we're in different states, we just try our possible best to keep on going. We want to remain your happy boys right here. And Sample Axis Podcast is back again. We're going to try our possible best to do as much as we can. And like Boyega said, you know, we're now on radio, we're now on terrestrial. And I don't know why I did not say Crest FM for now. There's going to be, you know, other additions in the future. So very soon we might even be, you know, in your ears, close to you, terrestrial level. And we have a lot of things in store. We have a lot of things we are working on. It's quite exciting. But today we are going to get back to, you know, talking samples. And it's an exciting one, really. This is one that we have held back for almost 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, Goyega. I feel like this is one of those, the first set of songs and samples we put together to actually do, but we had to like push and push and push for so many reasons, but now we are recording it. So I feel good. It's great to be back.
Yeah, we're going to get going. This feels like a restart or a rebirth or whatever you like to call it. Let's do some life updates if we can, just a little bit. Not a YouTube channel, but it's been 4 months or 5 months since the last episode. And that was Lingua Afrobeats. I really don't remember the much we talked about on that episode. It was about Yoruba language and the use of Yoruba and other languages in Africa.
Yeah, folklore music and all of that. Yeah, yeah. I actually liked that episode. It was quite, interesting because of the line that we were going through on that one. You know, a lot of people actually thought that, you know, we always like to tilt towards certain vibes and energy, but I think we have shown enough via the podcast that we can delve into any genre and delve into anything that has to do with music.
Today we are dealing with Olamide. Actually, Olamide is the center of our conversation today, and it's actually a heavy conversation. I'm hoping that we'll be able to do justice to it. Out of sampling since the 2000s, especially in Nigeria, the Nigerian music and its place today. We'll talk about Sister Agnes Iroh from Delta State, I believe. There is the Ameno Dorime sample that Olamide pretty much made popular here. We'll go into all kinds of segments, but Olamide is the focal point on the episode. So let's begin. Before we get into some of these Olamide samples or Olamide songs that sample some iconic songs that we will be talking about today, let's talk about the art of sampling since the 2000s. and Nigerian music and its place today. Can we mix that, or those are separate conversations?
The art of sampling since the 2000s would be a very good place to start. But let me just go through with all of that first, and then, you know, we can actually meet in the middle. Well, Nigerian music today, you know, is amazing, and things are happening. But a lot of times we forget. I feel like every single time we talk about music, we always forget that there was a you know, a timeline where music was popping in the early 2000s. And I know one of the reasons why a lot of people run away from it is because of a lot of sampling. So it wasn't like, it didn't feel like original Nigerian music, if you understand what I'm talking about, Gwega. So like the early 2000s down to like 2005, 2006. And I'll use one of the things I saw recently to explain this. So the Black Reverend, you know, Two-Face, Dibia running the show basically. We had Tribesmen doing a lot of madness. We had, you know, Mad Melon and Mountain Black, you know, and a couple of other people as well that were doing great stuff, you know, talking about Zulezu. That's what I was, the guys I was talking about before. And also, you know, we have like several artists from the time. Rhymzo, you understand? Rhymzo was big too. A lot of people did not know that. And then we had DJ Z's at some point. So it was a great time for Nigerian music, but I feel like a lot of people had not, you know, come to terms with the fact that it was authentic enough. And the reason why I'm saying this is because even for the OGs, and when I mean OGs, I mean people that have been around for a while, people that have been alive and were active in the early 2000s. If you ask them now, today, to give you a list of classics, I mean, we're in the year of our Lord, 2023. If you ask them to give you a list of classics, they would do something. Most of the songs would come from 2008 till like 2011. A lot of people do not talk about the chunk of music that came through in the... I mean, remember the... I don't know whether I remember this, but I'm sure you do. Remember the Ghanaian-Nigerian marriage in music? The VIP, you know, the VIPs, loads of music that was released at the time that had Ghanaian-Nigerian influences. It was like a rebirth for High Life, you know, but in a different genre. Because, you know, before they used to do a lot of collaborations together that were kept under the radar. But I also think one of the reasons why these things did not pop was because of the issue of having loads of American music being pushed into the Nigerian system. I remember 2005, 2006 very well. The biggest song in Nigeria at the time was probably Wyclef Jean and Shakira. It was a lot. And at this time, Rugged Man was making music. You understand? And we had proper gems being released. But a couple of people too that are not alive today. I think Kefi was already releasing music at the time as well. A couple of people, I think Goldie at the era too. So we had the Sasha P's, you know, LD the Don still making things pop. And all these guys had minute samplings, you know. There would always be a reference to an American song or a reference to, you know, we don't have the time today to actually break down all of this because this is just basically serving as an intro.
This is what we do on a regular, so I'm sure people exactly already so connect to some of the samples that we have dealt with. You remember Rasky and is it Busta Rhymes now? Rasky did a DMX cover, Black Reverence and Busta Rhymes. People know this already, but specifically, did sampling in Nigerian music change from 2000 to 2008 and then from 2008 to now? Is it more technical? Is it more sophisticated?
That's what I'm going to actually. It changed over time because the approach was different. In the early 2000s, you could easily tell where that sample was birthed from. You understand? Like, listening to a song the first time, you're like, oh yeah, this is from Neo's, you know, this is from Neo's early song, or this is from Nelly's Dilemma with Kelly Rowland. Do you understand what I'm saying? You could easily tell, oh, this is from Dangerous by Busta Rhymes. There was like, you know, it was more interpolation than proper act sampling. And I'm saying interpolation loosely so that people understand that I'm not using the word like, you know, as a strong term. I'm just saying that from first listen, you could tell that, this guy, not ripped off, but this guy took, you know, conversation from this end. You get what I'm saying? So it was quite easy to tell. Then the 2008 era came in where we had Gongwaso coming to the fray. You know, I think 2007, 2008, Gongwaso coming to the frame. We had original music from MI, you know, and the Wizkid birth, you know, a lot of people have forgotten that Wizkid actually came into the scene 08, 09, 010. So, you know, all those guys were coming in, and then the Banky W's, even though the samples were still heavy, like, you know, Ebutemeta and the likes, it was now more Nigerian. I don't know whether that makes any sense, but it was now like, okay, let me take this and I'll make it as Nigerian as possible. It's not like I would take this and I would sound Nigerian for some parts, but whenever I'm about to sample or interpolate this sound, I would switch to the American sound or switch to the UK sound so that the interpolation makes sense. You understand? I feel like because we persisted to work on this stuff and this kind of genres, we kind of like opened our minds up and we got better at understanding the rudiments and the fundamentals and how to break it and infuse it. So over time, I mean, it became more Nigerian, and then the 2010 came in. We now started to leave that setup of having to sample American songs and UK songs. Then we now started sampling more of our sounds. That was where the shift happened. So we're like, we want to take our Ibile music, we want to take our Igbo sounds. Then remember Sawale by Flavor came around one time, you know, by, you know, Jolly Papa himself, James Rex Lawson. And then we got a couple of people, and then I think Nice as well had like a big moment with all of these things, because he would pick up sounds that we are used to and redo it. And then we started having smaller artists.
Do you know Yalari Yakenke? That's a Sonny Ade song.
Yeah, I know. That's a big one as well. So, and it was an eye-opener. I feel like now a lot of people might not accept this because there's always like, you know, there's a history of, but you know, there's something called a paradigm shift in the world setup. I think the 2008 to 2010 was a paradigm shift for Nigerian music. I'm sure I have said this before, but I mean this, you know, in depth now, talking about the fact that we hit a new stride. And then, you know, the Burna Boys came out. Burna Boys started going heavy on Fela. You get, although Fela's work was already being touched in the early days. I mean, you think about Raw, Forget and Raw, because we're going to talk about Raw, Forget and Raw today. You know, picking off one particular song from the past. But they started to make proper sounds, and that led us to this point where we can now beat our chest and say Afrobeat. So when you break down Afrobeat sound, 80% of it is original, or let's say 70% of it is original, 25% of it is taking off interpolation or samples from our song from the past, and maybe 2% sounds a little bit more global, and it's because of, you know, global acceptability.
Interesting submission. This feels like a Stanford or Oxford dissertation, whatever. but yeah, I was able to. Yeah, there are two things I would like to, you know, speak on. One, I don't exactly agree with you that we were conscious. Maybe that's not your point, but I don't think we were conscious.
I don't think conscious. Most of the time, paradigm shifts don't happen because we took note of something. Is one person does this, and it makes sense, and oh, let's pick up this. And then you know how things just settle themselves in time and space. You know, things will just happen over time and everything will just make sense, basically. It's not like we thought about it and said, okay, in 2008 to 2009, you know, we'll stop making music like this, or no, I don't think so. That never happens in music, in fact, like the entirety of music.
I feel you. So yeah, it wasn't like we both just agreed now. It wasn't conscious. It was life and sound and, you know, technology, everything was happening, and then there was change in the sound, change in technology, and we had to do that. So 2008 was the major shift, and I wanted to say also that I think money came into the music, and so we stopped imitating Americans. Now Americans are actually trying to jump on our sound, so there's a 360 degree change in the way we have approached, you know, in the way the music has evolved, and that's good. I hope it stays that way. I hope someday we don't flip the other way, such that we now look up to foreigners for music. We don't necessarily imitate them, right? And not like they are imitating us like we did the last time. They are just trying to catch up on the sound. A lot of them see this is the new pop music and they want to catch up. That's that. Yes, yeah, sampling particularly changed. I think we can spend a few more minutes on this P. Before I go to sampling changing and, you know, how we navigate the conversation on the other fronts going forward, I wanted to mention Tomi Obanure, who is like a point of contact to the many changes we have seen. And this is just random. I said Tommy because that's someone I've been listening to a lot lately. But there are many other guys who signify the different changes we have seen. We know Lady Donley, her sound is different. We know people like Praye Tams, Dami Oniru, the Alte people, or Odunsi. They don't necessarily do Afro beats, they do Alte, but we've seen how different sounds have come out from their yard. There's a guy called Doing the Stoic. These are R&B guys, but they also signify differences in Nigerian music. I always refer to Capital FEMI. He was R&B, Niola was R&B, and this was the R&B, Beyonce R&B and Joe R&B that we were trying to do. It didn't necessarily work. I know Jason Blue. Oh. Teiwa, they make R&B too. Teiwa, you know these guys I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm familiar. Actually, you have caught two artists that I really love. Like I have seen them grow over time. Talking about Teiwa and Lady Donley.
Yeah, so let me close the circle with this. We have seen different splinters of the sound. Afrobeat is the core, but Fuji is also there. You know, Fuji is on a different side doing big things within the Afrobeat. In fact, I was having a conversation with Jolly Paps recently, and he was talking about what is this Afro Trenches and Afro Adura people are talking about. What am I trying to say is that Afrobeat is getting splintered into some sections. We know R&B Afrobeat. There are people who look at True Love. True Love is an R&B song, but Afrobeat embedded. So I like that.
The way we have
evolved in music, we have seen the different changes. Let me go back to Tommy Obanure. So Tommy Obanure makes drill and grime, Abuja Boys, and they seem to be able to. Oh, you know, this is tailored after the UK. So I don't know if this is a rebirth of 2000s or we are creating a new niche, a new genre that can be Nigerian and acceptable. These guys are not necessarily making big waves with the sound, but there is a section that connects to it and they seem to be serious about it.
It seems to be the way, actually, and I'm loving that for them. You know, coming into the scene and bringing up your niche and giving yourself a new genre to actually, you know, be like a pioneer, be like the pilot episode guy. I always like to use pilot a lot because, you know, some of these things, only time will tell us whether they would, you know, be good or not. You understand what I'm saying? So it depends on how people take this music in to themselves in the next few months. If they are not loving it for the next few months, next few years, it might not be a staple in the Nigerian sphere. It might be good for a couple of people, but it might not be a staple. I'm sure you agree to that, right?
Yeah, I do, partly. So yeah, one more thing before we call this first half a halt. Nigerian music and its place today. Just to touch up on that. When we come back, we'll deal with Agnes, Dorime, Wetinde, and all of the Olamide talk. But where we are today as Nigerian music, are we good? What's left to do?
To an extent, I feel like we're in the best place at the moment. Best place at the moment because we have a lot of growth. We have a lot of opportunity to grow. And we have a lot of things to work on. But at the moment, I think we are good. But at the same time, I feel like we're at a point where people need to realize that quality music matters. We have been sharing a lot of things through the grapevine that a couple of artists will be able to get, you know, proper labels, you know, to work with them and ask for chunk, you know, amount of money with not a lot to put out. So, like, you know, we're hearing cases of people asking for $1 million from record labels without having enough to put out. So and that has always been an issue in every industry. The moment the money does not match the energy, a decline sort of happens. But one thing I'm happy about is that we have a large circle of talents. But the problem is, do these talents have access to all of this funds? You said something about money coming in. Is the money touching everybody? You understand what I'm saying? Is this money getting to the right corners? Because imagine a company like, you know, let me just use one company. Let's assume that a company is called Recording Studios, right? Recording Studios comes into Nigeria. Okay, yeah, Nigeria is a new place to tap. And they have been told that they drop big funds and these guys, you know, the recuperations are great. Like, the money to come back are awesome. So they're like, let's go into the Nigerian market and tap into talent. And these boys have heard, you know, that, okay, when these record labels come, ask them, build them well. And they end up, you know, falling into a hole, and maybe they sign 6-7 artists that don't end up creating proper funds. They record a loss on their end, you understand? And then talk will go around. Maybe this market is not what it seems. Let's try and grow vertically instead of horizontally.
Pretty interesting. I'm not sure this was what we intended for this episode. We're sounding more academic and more pundit type stuff. That's not what we intended. We're just trying to check our sample. So on the flip side, yeah, we'll get back to the conversation. So we're back on the Sample Access, episode 74, 74th edition. Nelson and Boyega here. Let's get back to it. Olamide is the center of our conversation today, sampling a bunch of artists. I think the best place to begin is with the popular one, Sister Agnes. So there is the YBNL album that was released some time ago, YBNL Nation All Stars, and this would probably be 2010 11 12, and has Lil Kesh, has what's the name of that boy, Picasso Rap, I think, and then a bunch of other artists featuring Olamide, Our Lord Jesus, that's the title of the song, produced by Fuse. But first of all, how many versions of YBNL have we had?
The original set, I think the original set started in 2012, if I'm not mistaken. Not the label, like, the, we are talking about YBNL as we have seen it. I think they have done two YBNL albums, right? The first one I can remember was released in 2012. That one had like 20 tracks. And that's where we're still going to talk about one of the songs of that track, you know. Although that YBNL album was mostly Olamide, I think that's the Yaoboy No Laptop album. Do you understand? But the YBNL as a group thing, I think started, you know, maybe 2013, 2014. But that YBNL album from 2012 was probably one of the hardest ones, because he had Delay for Illuminati, had Voice of the Street, you know, a couple of jams off that album that were really, really good. I think Panumo featuring Davido, Street Law featuring Minus Two.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, that's 2012.
Panumo was on Davido's album, was on whose album? Okay, yeah, I think you're right.
Album.
You're right, yeah, actually. Yeah.
There was Fuji House, you know, Fuji House with Dami Crane. I think Ile for Illuminati was the big one for me, because, of course, I think it was the big song out of the album, even though there was Stupid Love out of this too. Stupid Love was also a street hit. I don't think Stupid Love was big in a wider scale, but like for street guys, Stupid Love was the thing.
In those streets, remember Inyani and Jusu Kola.
So I think the YBNL as a group album will be that first one. I know that was the first one that they had.
No, I'm not talking about the group album. I'm talking about YBNL, okay, the album by Olamide.
Okay.
So I just wanted to use that to open this side of the conversation. So the main talk is, what's the title of this song again? The main talk
Our
is
Lord Jesus.
Our Lord Jesus, yes. Fuse produced. Fuse and Olamide, of course, go way back. Any Money is Olamide's sibling, right? Or, yeah.
Yeah, Any Money is his brother, his younger brother.
Fuse has been with Olamide. They really, really, like, it's amazing to see how far they have come together or how far they have come as separate artists, even though they are still family. Stupid Love and what's the name of this song? For Stupid Love was really, really huge then. And Fuse, Mr. Producer, I think that was probably the first time we heard Fuse. And then he went on to create a bunch of hits upon hits year on year. Our Lord Jesus has Lil Kesh and Victor, not Picasso Rap. The reason why I asked about YBNL on that episode is because a lot of people have come and gone. Why didn't some people blow up? I was just thinking about Lil Kesh today. What Asake is doing right now is what could have been done with Lil Kesh. Maybe, of course, you remember on the first half of this conversation, we were talking about how things have changed. Asake is cashing out in major US cities and across the world. But Lil Kesh had an episode within 1 year and 2 years. Within 2 years, it was just off the scene.
Yeah.
And Picasso Rap was really promising. Tame Obasa, Victor really didn't pop off like that. And it feels like something wasn't right. And then the Fireboy era and Asake was just really mind-blowing. And they are all over the place now.
Let me try and explain it the way I understand. Olamide was growing at the same time he had most of these guys around him. So it was a growth phase for Olamide as well as the guys around him. So of course, he's not the maestro that he is now. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So at the time, it was more of a tag along.
Or just because Afrobeats is in a different space right now.
Apart from that, that's one thing. That's a definite thing. You know, Afrobeat has changed. I'm sure if Lil Kesh, if we were in this level that we are now, back in the time, Lil Kesh would have blown up beyond that, because I remember boys in like IJGB boys then, you know, boys in the UK, US that would come back home. They were big fans of Lil Kesh. I remember then, you know, we used to have this one of our friends that was, you know, outside the country at the time, came back in the country. This guy was singing basically by Lil Kesh, like word for word. And we're like,
you know, the diaspora and audience are a big part of the Afrobeats community.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that Lil Kesh did his work. He did it well. In fact, you know, they did what they had to do with what they had at the time. But we cannot place that on. What I'm saying is we cannot really place the fact that they did not blow up on Olamide, because, like I said, Olamide was growing at the time as well. So it was like, you know, a tag along. And if it worked for you, it worked. I mean, Olamide did something with Adekunle Gold. Adekunle Gold is still golden to now. So Adekunle Gold was part of that set as well, the very first set. So it was just a time of, okay, I'm growing, but I'm holding these guys along. And then I think that where everything turned around for him was where we started to see Olamide the juggernaut was with Fireboy. I think he really held Fireboy down and say, you are going to make it whether you like it or not. Jiget. So, and then he had understood the nooks and cranny of the industry and everything that worked around. But let's go back and talk about, you know, sampling Sister Agnes. I remember the first time I heard that song. You know, I think it was, I'd heard the song earlier before, but the song, and that's what's interesting about the Sister Agnes song. The song blew up when it came out, but it didn't blow up as much as it did 2 or 3 years later. I don't know whether you remember. So it was a small hit, but like, it felt like it didn't have shelf life. You understand? So when it came out, the original time it came out, people were not, it was like, oh yeah, we knew the song. It was interesting. But 2-3 years after, I'm talking about 2014, 2015, it just kind of like, you know, something that died and rose up again. I think it was the beginning of the trend on WhatsApp and, you know, that brought it back. You get?
So I think what we can say about that is that the funny, you know, there is this thing that is enticing and funny about the sample. La da la da, yeah, la da la da. Oh. So I think somehow
our Lord Jesus is our ladder.
maybe with the Instagram comedians or WhatsApp or whatever people were doing.
Yeah, and they brought it
off.
Back.
That thing popped off, and then, in fact, I'm sure Sister Agnes heard wherever she was that there's something going on with this song coming online and all that. You know, Obisere had an episode with Egungun, Be Careful, and then he came back, and then Obisere started doing. Obisere started doing interviews. So that's one of the things that the social media does. Look at they are doing. They are having a comeback on TikTok right now. In fact, there is a remix on one American, you know, African American rapper doing that. What's the name of the song? Premier Gao. Magic System. Premier Gao. That's the name of the group. Yeah. So these comebacks happen when people just find the samples and all. And that's one of the reasons why sampling is, you know, a phenomenon. Let's now pivot to Sister Agnes Iroh. I tried my best to look for stuff about her. I was wishing we would be able to get an interview, even if it was for 5 minutes, but we'll probably save that for a different episode when there is need to talk about Igbo gospel music. That's a genre. That's a genre that we need to touch on just for record purposes, because it also has its impact on us. So Igbo gospel music, you will talk about names like who? I know Sister Agnes Iroh because of this conversation, and I know there are others. Chioma, what's the name of that woman?
Chioma Jesus
is one of the most popular, but that's a genre where you know, program beats on the piano, and then you continue to vibe on that wave.
I think a lot of the Onitsha guys really, really, you know, worked on this. I feel like it would make much more sense for us to address this in a proper episode because if you are somebody that lived in the West, I do not know about the North, but if you are somebody that lived in the West, even if you are living in the proper Yoruba cities, there was a time, 03, 02, when you start your mornings, after you listen to the usual Yoruba songs in the morning, for somebody like me that grew up in Lagos, majorly in Lagos, I heard a lot of that. And even when I came down to Ekiti to see my grandma once in a while, I would be shocked. Because then I remember there was a setup, there was a way they used to play it that time, you know. They would start with Owuro, Olojo Eni Mariro, start with, you know, Beautiful Nubia. And then maybe when it gets to, like, you know, when the sun has risen already, they'll just switch up and, you know, we are jamming Igbo. And you're like, these people don't even understand what the heck is going on. But that's the thing. Yeah, so that kind of thing I'm sure happened. I know Olamide lived and grew up in Bariga, so... And I lived close to Bariga as well. Nowadays, when you're on YouTube or you're on Instagram, you see all of these Instagram guys and they bring out, like, you know, videos, or they are doing content. And you're like asking yourself, did we live the same lives? Jiget. So sometimes you can align all of these things. For somebody like me that grew up in an era like that, we knew that we had to listen. Sister Agnes there was this Sister Agnes album that was big up then, you know, the whole album, you had to jam it from beginning to the end. So I'm sure Olamide had heard it before. You know, the thing stuck in his head, and creating a song is like, our Lord Jesus, this will be perfect to rap onto. And I think he did a wonderful job with it. Even though at the time it came out, the shout was subtle. It was like a part of an album. 2-3 years later, I'm very sure Olamide saw increase in his numbers, because the moment people heard that song, the moment people heard, oh yeah, Olamide did this album, everybody went back and started playing that album again and said, let's listen to what's going on right here. And then you also, like, you know, you also remember again that Olamide did work with Doremi as well.
Yeah. So we'll get to Doremi just about now, but I wanted to mention that there was the YBNL All-Star album first. I don't know what year. Please remind me if you remember. The second one was YBNL Mafia Family. This time, of which album we picked the song Our Lord Jesus featuring Lil Kesh and what's the other guy, Victor. There were other guys on that album that I can't remember now. But this album, YBNL Mafia Family, had people like Picasso Rap, Yomi Blaze, Limerick, Lil Kesh, Devo Lee, Timmy Ovasa, Lighter, and DJ Any Money. That's just about that. I think it's time to flip to Ameno, a song by Era, E-R-A, from 1996.
The All-Star album, from what I can see here, I think it was released in 2018.
That's for the second one. That's the second one that had
the second one. Yeah, the second one.
There was one that had Fireboy, right? Yeah, the same one.
Yeah, this 2018 had Fireboy as well.
So All-Star album is different from this.
But I think that song was a single, because that one came out in 2014. Our Lord Jesus came out in 2014. but it was still YBN and All Star. So I guess it was probably a single. I don't think it was part of an album.
Let's push this forward and try to wrap up. Wrap up. Yeah, speak a bit on the impact of a song, or can we call it a classic? What genre is that? ERA, Amino.
They call it new age music. Now, for so many reasons, this is probably going to be one of those, you know, songs that would have to break down little by little, but we'll try our possible best to just, you know, keep it simple. ERA, they are a group that was, you know, formed in 1996. In fact, they are still around today, and they were making some sort of new music, you understand? So their music was largely similar to, you know, having Latin words and singing them in opera form, and they called it new age music. So you understand the idea. I think if you look back in new age, this was around the same time Enya was a thing. Enya was becoming, you know, proper staple. And you also remember that in 1996 also, it was around this time that Madonna released Frozen. So there was a new age kind of, I'm sure you are getting the idea of what I'm talking about. There was a new kind of sound that was popping up at the time. Apart from, a lot of people do not know that it's not only Enya that made that kind of music. A couple of other artists tried, but Enya is just like the, you know, pioneer and staple act when you think about, you know, that kind of music. So
this was the same 1996 that hip-hop Jay-Z was blowing up. There was Mac Morrison.
Yeah, that's why I said this is just kind of like its own genre, a side genre. And most of the idea of new age music is just to bring in spirituality, you know, it's for meditation, massaging, stress management.
Shout out to Ashake Yuga Yuga.
Yeah, right. Shout out to Ashake and all of that. But one of the things that is interesting about this form of music is that most of the time when they make these kind of songs, and this is the first time I'm actually learning about this, is that they don't even have any meaning whatsoever.
So they just vibe.
Yeah. I mean, they literally say devoid of any exact meaning. So there's no like, although there are words of Latin, there are sometimes, you know, opera music put together, but I think the main purpose is to create a spiritual trance vibe. So it's not a lyrics thing. It's not like Bring the Pain by Method Man or something. Or, you know, you're trying to sing to a girl like Dilemma.
Something interesting about this is actually pop and electronic at the same time. So it starts with this classical voice. You know, I mentioned classical.
No, really. Yeah, I think classic.
So they start without the beats, and then they go into, you know, beats that would this trance element, and then the violins and all the instruments would gather. This is like classical orchestral arrangement with some pop effects, right?
Yeah. The name of the person that actually led the song on the Ameno, the original one, is called Harriet J. You know, amazing voice. I think it was really cool. There was actually an album made of that, but the brain behind that particular album of ERA in 1996 is Eric Levi. Eric Levi, of course, from the name, you want to sound like maybe it's probably Jewish or something, but I'm not so sure. But according to what is recorded, it's even just a stage name. So, you know, you think it sounds Jewish, but it's actually a French rock musician and film composer. So the Ameno itself does not have so much in terms of depth, but it hits that note when you're talking about spirituality. You get what I'm saying? So, like, it's like that perfect vibe. And, you know, it's a crazy realization. Coming to understand that what I've been listening to all this while, it's not like they're trying to tell me or there's a deep message behind this. No. It's just the Dorime. I'm sure something.
Yeah, but those things will translate to something. Dorime in Terrible and Alabari. In fact, let me try and see. Yeah, before we wrap up. Okay, yeah, please close this and then let's go to Waiting Day. There's another one, Omijo Ojumi, though.
Yeah, but let me, I'll let you take Omijo Ojumi. But all of those things, you know, the idea of the song was actually legit and was good enough, you understand? Apparently, the lyrics was actually written by a guy called, I think that's the correct pronunciation, Guy Prothiori. So Guy Prothiori wrote that song in pseudo-Latin. What that means is that it's like broken English or Pidgin English. So basically, it is actually jargons, but it's imitating Latin.
So it's an imitation, basically.
It's an imitation. It's not even so. They are not real words. Yeah.
It's just a vibe.
They're not real words.
Do you know that it's just a vibe, but Goya Meno literally built a career off the back of jargons, right?
I mean, when you say it like that, it sounds sober, but yeah.
It's disrespectful, sober, right? Yeah. I want the smoke.
Yeah.
But yeah,
pretty much. Again, when I say off of Jargon, it just tells you. Look, I was listening to an Asake interview, and he was saying that you have to connect. Like, they played the chant in the beginning of Yoga to him, and he said he doesn't even know what the man was saying, and he made a global song off of that. Ebalele. So he is just a vibe. So when I say that Goya may not build a career off of course, it doesn't mean it's nothing. The fact that you go to a studio and you say a few words and you, I mean, classical music is a lot of riffing on one or two notes, and it's still an artistic endeavor, right?
Yeah, let me make this more interesting, right? In Belgium, it was certified gold. Talking about Eras Ameno, in Spain, it was certified gold. In Poland, it was certified platinum. In Switzerland, it was certified 3 times platinum. So you understand that this is not just one of those, you know, jargons that didn't lead to anything. Nah, it led to a lot. In fact, in popular media, I'm sure a lot of people know that Doremi Ameno was actually a big thing, even during the pandemic, all the way down till, like, it became a thing in the clubs years later. I'm sure from, like, 2016, 2017, down to, like, 2023, a lot of people have been using it in clubs, as you know.
To welcome the king, to welcome all the richest guys in the club.
The richest guys. You think about it and you say, this was Studio Latin. This was something that does not even make sense. This is like a piece of chaotic jargons that makes sense. A jam. And this is based off...
I don't want you to keep going because we're really pressed for time. But let's acknowledge or hypothesize that the Doremi sound as a welcome tag for rich guys in a club is a Nigerian thing, right?
Yeah, for the best of my knowledge. Even though I have heard it, I've seen a couple of videos abroad that I've seen them, you know, use the song as well. But I know in Nigeria's setup, I have seen them, but...
Like, I think Nigerian hype men have abused it.
I kind of feel like, because I've not done a survey and I do not know how the clubs operate there, I can only speak for Nigerians, and I will tell you that the moment you hear Doremi...
That's us creating another episode for the future to talk about hype culture in Nigerian clubs. Next is Omiji Ojumi. Let me handle that in 2 minutes before you come back to what's the last piece. The last piece is Waiting Day.
Waiting Day.
Now, Omiji Ojumi was sampled by Olamide on the song Jale on the YBNL album. Omiji Ojumi is a popular Nigerian Yoruba song by Ekwa Choir, and I'm talking about 2005 here, or 2004 in fact. So there's a lady called Dabira, I don't know her full name, I should try to get that now. Omiji Ojumi Dabira, she was a chorister in the Ekwa Choir, and she was like the star of the album. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. Omije Ojumi Birianu Re Baba. So come in, all of that. And then, you know, Olamide being Olamide, very cultural, is very in tune with the Yoruba culture. I mean, pretty much all of our guys grew up on this Babara, Bolare, Ekwa Choir, all these Larry Teriba vibes. We grew up on Nollywood. That's why we see all the references in Afrobeats today, right? So, I think that's just interesting that a song like that can come back to Olamide in an album, in the YBNL album. This was 2012, just about 10 years apart, or less than 10 years. And it's just very interesting how Nigerian cultural influences find, you know, good footing in Afrobeats.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I'm one of those people that appreciate it. I know that one time we'll look for a way to talk about Nollywood, the connect to Nigerian music, because the connect is there and it's large. It's like a big connect, you understand? And I feel like maybe one time we'll put it down as one of those episodes in the future.
I think that woman's name is Evangelist Bumi Akinanu Adeoye, one of those.
Is that a fair lady?
No, the lady who was the main singer in the Omiji Ojumi song.
Okay, I just remember. I think I was thinking Busola Oke or something. I just remember that. So we just want to try and squeeze this in. But one thing I can tell you for sure is I will just be giving you the basis of Waiting Day. And I like it because it will lead us into something that we have been running away from for 2 years now, or 3 years, that we have to come back to. And go, guy, you know who I'm talking about. Fela Anikola Pokuti.
Yeah, absolutely. We have been running from a season. Yeah, we have been running.
So let me start with this. Let me start with this. Olamide, on Symbol of Hope, he took off or sampled, let me use the word sampled, he sampled Waiting Day by Rough, Rugged and Raw. Rough, Rugged and Raw did Waiting Day off Fela's Army Arrangement. I hope you understand that, because it's quite interesting. So I'm going to take it again. So Olamide's Symbol of Hope, that was released in 2016, took off, you know, sampled Rough, Rugged and Raw's Waiting Day featuring Paul Play. And that particular song by Rough, Rugged and Raw, Waiting Day, was actually, they actually used a sample of Fela's Army Arrangement. So there's a long stretch here. But one thing that we have said over and over again in this episode that I'd like to actually use to, you know, start this talk, is that Olamide is in depth in Nigeria in terms of the music, the movies, every single thing. Olamide is a Nigerian to the core in terms of everything. He's a student of Nigeria, let me put it like that. He's a student of the culture of Nigeria and every single thing around it. Now, a lot of people know that Waiting Day was a big song by Rough, Rugged and Raw. But the interesting thing was that, I don't know whether you can remember this, Gboyega, there was a TV series made by BBC in 2007 that came off Waiting Day. He spoke about, the series was about, you know, HIV and AIDS. I think it was one of the proper Nollywood stories where we had the Canningwood, where I'm talking about the Northerners, the Southerners, and the Westerners, and the Easterners come together to make one series. Big shout out to BBC One for doing that at the time. Big shout out to them, because it was a major thing. They had a couple of series, bro.
Are you talking about the Radio Waiting Day, or there's another one?
Yeah, there's a TV series. There was Waiting Day on radio, and then they made it to TV series as well.
I think I remember briefly now.
Yeah, I think the radio one too was actually a hit for a while, but the radio one was more, you know, like a drama.
Okay, right? Sorry, I'm mistaking Talk Your Own for Waiting Day. But there was a Waiting Day on radio.
Yeah, there was a Waiting Day on radio. It was like a drama-like thing to educate people on the realities of HIV and AIDS at the time. And we knew that, you know, early in the 2000s, HIV was a rampage thing. Everybody was talking about it, and we needed to know about the reality. So that's like, you know, a song that came off pop culture. You know, Rough, Rugged and Raw had an amazing album, I think 2004, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, they did the album. Even last year, they released the album again, actually. They did a compilation of their old songs. But Waiting Day has to be, of course, the top big one in that particular album. I would not have so much time to talk about Rough, Rugged and Raw, because there's so much talk about them. But we just need to understand and state that these guys are one of the biggest to do it in the early parts of rap in Nigeria. They were Rough, Rugged and Raw, just like their name. And this should not be mistaken with the Rough, Rugged and Raw from the US as well, because there's actually a group called Rough, Rugged and Raw in the US. There's a difference.
Yeah, of course, we did not exactly exhaust all the points that we would have loved to on this episode, and we hope this opens, you know, some kind of, I hope first of all this was entertaining to the listener, and I also hope that it has some value to it. We will continue to open up more parts of this part of this talk that wasn't exhausted. I personally feel the Amenor parts and the Hype Man culture thing will be more explored going forward.
I think I need to also add that Odusi the Engine actually made another song too in 2019 called Waiting Day. We would come back to it. And I feel like maybe in the next 10, 15 episodes, we would come back to talking about this Waiting Day. And we would use the Army Arrangement as the, you know, the focus point to get into all of this. Because Army Arrangement itself birthed a couple of songs that came out in the future. So using Army Arrangement by Fela and Nicola Kukuti, and we talk about the personnel and how it came about, and then we talk about the songs that came off that particular one song, which is the Waiting Day by Rough, Rugged and Raw, Waiting Day the series that was done by BBC, Olamide's Symbol of Hope, and Odusi's Waiting Day in 2019.
Amazing stuff. So we went around a number of albums that have Olamide in them. I think first was the YBNL Mafia album. We talked about Symbol of Hope from the Glory album by Olamide. That's probably one of the least performing Olamide albums. And I'm going to speak briefly now about Eyanmi Weather. There is a beginning of Eyanmi Weather that has this occultic type Amenor thingy. So that's another Olamide masterpiece.
That particular one song, I think that song is That song is the song to Olamide, man. That song is the song.
A maximum respect to Olamide. I think this is where I stopped talking trash about him. This is where I will stop. This is this episode, because of what we have done on this episode, is where I will stop any kind of disrespect or any kind of subtle jab on Olamide's legacy. It's up there.
Definitely. Yeah.
Anything on production credit we should mention? Fuse is all over the place.
Rough Rugged and Raw, I think Paul Play, Ike Dairo, he did that, you know, great job on that. He arranged, I've even seen him talk about it. We'll talk about that later. Of course, Fela Nicola Kukuti, I think one of the names to mention that was part of that group is KJ Hamilton. He was on keyboards and guitar, I guess. You know, of course, like Adeniran, everywhere all the time. Odusi the Engine, he produced the song as well, Waiting Day in 2019. So from my end, Fuse all the way. Fuse on Symbol of Hope. Fuse on Voice on the Streets. That guy, and he's still, Fuse is now a musician. He's amazing, man. He's like a...
Absolutely, full like circle.
Full circle, yeah. Amazing stuff.
What about Ameno? Who do we ascribe that to?
Ameno is Eric Levi. Eric Levi actually produced the entire thing. He wrote and produced, actually. But also to add that Guy Prothery. Guy Prothery is the main writer of that song. Eric Levi was just an assistant on the song.
There was Philippe Manka on the lead guitar. The choir rendition was done by the English Chamber Choir. Pretty interesting. That's a good place to wrap up. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to episode 74 of The Sample Access. This has been good. Nelson, shout out to you. How do we wrap up? How do we close?
Yeah, big shout out. We're going to be coming back very soon with the next episode. So, of course, don't flinch. Just remain there. We're coming for you. And trust me, back to back, moving forward.
Shout out to you. We out.
Shout out to everybody. We out.
The Sample Access. Administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You're listening to the Sample Access Podcast.